hello, I'm Lori Snyder, and welcome to Mojo on the Go. Glad you're here with me today. I am so excited to be talking about what it really takes to be an expert, and what does that really look like? You know, I think we can all say that we have worked with people who we would consider experts in the past, and I think that we can all say that we would have worked with people that we would not consider to be experts. So what's the difference? What defines an expert from someone who claims to be but really isn't? You know, this has been on my mind a little bit, and surprisingly enough, I took my son Sam in to get a haircut last week. And, you know, Sam is one of those kids that has this flaming red hair. And it's gorgeous, and it's unruly, and it's very, very thick, which really results in a variety of bedhead that is truly undescribable, but would be award-winning if there was such a contest. He likes it a little bit longer, and so do I. So when his hair became overly shaggy and I couldn't see his eyes anymore, and he, you know, looked a lot more like the dog than himself, I decided it was time to take him into my local chain haircutting salon to fix. So I take him in, and I, you know, the woman puts him in the chair, throws a cape on him, and she looks at me and she says, "What do you want?" And I looked back at her and I said, "A haircut." And she said, "No, do you want a two? Do you want a three? What do you want?" So I look back at her, and I'm a little confused at this point. And I said, "I'm not sure what you're saying to me. I want it a little longer, but, you know, it needs to be quite a bit shorter than it is right now. We need to be able to see his face." And she said, "Then you want a three." And I said, I don't know. What's a three?" And she looked at me like I was not quite there, and she said, "A number three clippers. Is that what you want?" At this point, I'm getting a little anxiety ridden, and I don't want my son to leave the hairdressers with basically a buzz cut. And when I hear the word clippers, that's what I think. So I said, I don't know what I want. I want it longer in the back because it seems to work a little better when it's a little longer. It's really, really thick. And she said, "Well, then you want a scissors cut." And I said, "I guess." You know, and that's when I said, "You know, I'm not a hairstylist, so I'm not sure that I'm really understanding what you're asking me. I don't want it shaved, if that's what you mean." And she said, "So you want a scissors cut?" And I said, "Okay, that means you don't use a clippers?" And she said, "Yeah, is that what you want?" And I said, I think so. And she looked at me a little bit disgusted and turned to Sam and, you know, got her scissors out and started cutting his hair. I went and sat down and thought to myself, what was that? You know, and then I thought, what did I really want? Here's the thing that I really wanted from that hairstylist. I have a problem. My problem is that my son has an unruly head of hair. And I wanted her, as the expert, to help me manage that. I wanted her to tell me the best cut for him and make suggestions that, you know, would enhance the look. I wanted her to help me figure it out. I wanted my son to walk out of the salon looking good. And I think more than anything, you know, as I thought about it, I really wanted her to enjoy her job and, you know, make what was mundane for her sort of fun. You know, I wanted her to care and to take the burden off of me. You know, why couldn't she own that challenge? You know, that's what I wanted, but that's not what I got. You know, I'm assuming that this person was trained to be a hairstylist. She's supposed to be the expert. Why didn't she ask me questions and then, based on my answers, make an expert suggestion? You know, all I got was, "What do you want?" Was she simply being lazy, or did she really expect me to know what a number three was? So here's the thing. You know, it's so easy to make assumptions about individuals and assume that they know more than they do. You know it, so they should too. For example, in our business, we assume people know how to be good residents. And we immediately chastise them when they aren't. But we never really teach them what it means to be a good neighbor or provide them with the tools that help them become good residents. I have a son who's 21 and looking at his own apartment. And, it's interesting because when I think about him moving into an apartment, I think, he really wouldn't know off immediately how to be a good resident. He might try to be, but that doesn't mean he's going to be one. And where's the education to help him become one? We could get so far ahead of so many problems that we have if we just provided education up front to people and stopped assuming they know more than they maybe do. We assume that people enter our offices and have done research on floor plans online and know exactly what they want. And based on, their limited understanding of the product, they've got it down, instead of helping them to really discover and based on our expertise, floor plans that will fit their lifestyle, we leave it up to them. The next time that you're tempted to throw a challenge back at a client and make the assumption all your training and expertise doesn't really matter, think about your true role and responsibility. As an expert, try listening. Ask clients questions about lifestyle and needs. And then based on what you learn from them, make an expert suggestion that solves that lifestyle problem. Have some fun and be confident in your role as expert. Confidence is a sexy thing, and people are attracted to it. And then be an expert. Take the time to really prepare and make sure you know more than your competitors do. When a client walks through your door and presents a problem, whether that be a stopped-up sink or a need for an apartment, that's all they really should have to do. You own it from there. Just like the hairdresser should have owned it when I brought in my wild redhead and sat him down in her chair and said, "We have a problem. I can't get it to work right." You be the expert. You be confident and confident and love helping people get what they want. And, I think another thing for us to really think about as sort of the moral of this story, remember to deliver, to really deliver, and keep in mind how much you add to overall value perception and satisfaction. What does that mean? What does that mean? How can you add value? How can you become more competent and confident? And how can you keep in mind that you're the expert and it's your turn to be one when they present a problem to you? Until next time, this has been Mojo on the Go. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Lori Snyder.